At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. What a football weekend. Kelly, good morning to you.
Hey, how we doing out there?
Kelly, let's just start by saying we were the only show on earth that recommended a Chiefs-Eagles teaser. So thank God you were listening to us.
I didn't hear a single other person on the planet bring it up all week. That's all I know.
Brent Musburger was kind enough to have me on his show on Saturday. I said, Kelly and I have already planned our gag for Monday morning that if this teaser hits, we're going to act like we were the only ones at it. Oh, we are. We're geniuses. America's teaser, ladies and gentlemen, coming through on Saturday.
Oh, it was glorious.
Congratulations to all on that. Chrissy Andrews will join us hour number two, sort of a makeshift guessing lines that we like to do in the postseason with Chrissy. So he will join us from back here at the South Point, get the perspective from behind the desk, what he's going to do or what he posted or what he will post after this show with the lines for the championship games. And Kelly, we'll talk a little Australian Open a little later on, some other stuff happening in sports, but it's really all about the weekend of football. And first thing, before we get to just how it worked out for us, because honestly, in sports betting, and you know, we do 20 hours of content here on this show specifically every week, and the network does multiple hours more than that, exponentially more, and it's rare that you're kind of dead on about everything. And this was one of those rare weekends where we really were in the NFL. And so we'll get to, not to say, hey, look at us, but sort of what was the signal, what was the noise, and how can that help us in other similar type situations. But the first thing I just want to say is beyond the betting, these are the best four teams in the NFL that we have at the conference championships.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody can dispute that. I really don't. I don't think you can make a case for any other team. These are the four best teams in the NFL. They all deserve to be there. And every possible Super Bowl matchup is going to be pretty awesome.
All four of these teams are good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we always talked about the six teams all year long. I think that still holds true. Two of them had to get eliminated this weekend. Two of them did. These four teams, though, advancing, any one of them are good enough to win the Super Bowl. I think next weekend we got two amazing games in store for us.
Well, so let's talk about just the biggest ones, which is, I don't know if I said it 20 times last week. I don't know if I said it 30 times, which is, I don't understand either of those line moves yesterday. The one against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
That had Buffalo as a 6-point favorite, the one against the San Francisco 49ers. And specifically with the Bills and the Bengals. I mean, I really hope people made good money on the Bengals. And even if you didn't have them pre-flop, I hope you were able to see. Todd Wishnev said it on the Megapod, right? You'll know within a few plays. You'll know will that Bengals offensive line hold up? Oh, my God, it was so obvious from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we'll go through the whole guessing lines play-by-play or drive-by-drive on this coming up in detail. But what was the thing, you know, that I said 20, 30 times last week, which is, in addition to that, is this notion about the three Bengals offensive linemen being out, Williams and Collins and Kappa, that I kept saying Joe Burrow, these are the two biggest points that I feel like people just sort of overrode. No matter how many times it was said, which is Joe Burrow has the quickest release, not the quickest release, but gets rid of the ball the quickest in the National Football League this side of Tom Brady. Besides Tom Brady, he gets rid of the football the most. Now, part of that is the Bengals game planning. So shout out to the Bengals coaching staff. They deserve a lot of credit for recognizing that and continuing with that. And Joe Burrow got rid of the ball where it didn't matter with those offensive line, in terms of protection with his offensive line. But by the way, that offensive line also crushed in the running game.
Yes.
Which was the real surprise for everybody, right? Oh, my God, Joe Mixon is going to gain 100 yards.
They were, I mean, they manhandled that Bills defensive line.
Totally. That final score, 27-10, is not indicative of the domination of that football game. Because remember, much of that last part of the game was when the Bengals were up 24-10. It was like they were just like, well, we'll just kick this field goal to go up three scores. We could do more, but we'll just kick this field goal here. That was the one thing. And then the other thing that was just kind of, and I got a lot of incoming from Bills Mafia people on Twitter all last week when I kept saying that. We kept showing our clips about me saying this, which is the Bills haven't been good. Not they haven't been good. They haven't been elite for about a half a season.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why I had them power ranked fifth for multiple weeks at this last stretch of the season and into the playoffs. Again, it's not fugazi like the Vikings and the Giants were. But it is from an elite perspective. They just weren't like the other four teams. And I know they won a lot of those games. They beat the likes of the Bears and the Jets and the Dolphins twice, right? Once in the regular season, once in the postseason. Probably should have lost at least one of those. The Patriots, the Lions. It wasn't exactly a murderer's row. The Browns. I mean, and so they did win those games. Take nothing away from them. But to think that the Bills, and this is, again, last week we talked, Kelly, about how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 2022 was this very anomalous thing that that I don't remember quite ever seeing before, which is this team that was clearly terrible. Really a 6-11 team in 8-9 clothing. That the market was just super stubborn on week after week after week after week throughout the season. With the Bills, I just got the sense that with the analytics community specifically, I don't know if it's because they hold on to their priors. They hold on to their priors so near and dear. And I love these guys, right? Aaron Schatz, who I love. But they were the number one DVOA team in football, the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus Peabody, who's our buddies on the show a lot, he had the Bills rated number one in his rankings. And the only question I can sort of ask is anybody watching these games? Because the Bills weren't that. They're a good football team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good football team. But they weren't a top four football team. And the Bengals dominated them, 27-10. And the thing I will say about the Niners getting to that and that line move against them, what was the whole thing? No one's saying Brock Purdy is a great football player, but Kyle Shanahan is good enough at X's and O's, and the Niners are stacked enough on offense to hide Brock Purdy. Hide in quotes, meaning set him up for the best success. Now, were there moments, you know, a ball going off Trayvon Diggs' chest? One of the things I did concede with Brock Purdy is he's super fortunate with the itches.
Yeah.
Interceptions that should have happened. Copyright
Megapod. Were in that game.
Oh, everybody was. So there's that. There's clearly that luck, right? But what was the bar for Dak and Brock Purdy yesterday? The bar was, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
And guess what? One of them did and one of them didn't. And the guy who didn't was the last pick in the NFL draft. And again, we'll go through it play by play because there were so many little moments. But those are the things when we talk about just signal and noise. The overstating of the offensive line issues with the Bengals. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. Like as casual football fans and people who are bettors, we're aware of starting quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks. We have a general sense of the quality and talent and what that means to a line. Who amongst us really has a general sense of the drop down from a starting offensive lineman to a backup?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other point that was brought up on the broadcast of you know, a couple of these guys that are that are filling in were starters. You know, have been starters in this league before too. So it's not like. Yeah, I mean, we make a big deal of the Brock Purdy situation because that is a very unique situation, right? He's still a rookie. He was the last pick of the draft. No expectations. Offensive linemen filling in that have been in the league for years, doing this for years. I understand that some offensive linemen are better than others. I'm not trying to say there's no difference between those. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it was so far, that's been overblown, obviously, of how much it affects this team.
That's the point, though, Kelly. Is not, hey, look, we were right. The point is, what's signal and what's noise? If Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball, in other words, from snap to release from his hand, quicker than anybody in football but Tom Brady, that should mean something to you. So all the noise about the offensive line should be overridden.
It also helps that you have, you know, the best wide receiving core in the league, right?
Yes.
That creates separation.
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously, right? And with Kyle Shanahan, you are set up to do the best you possibly can. Anyway, the other thing that I think we need to focus on also is competition matters. And we tried to stress this over the last, you know, we always stress it, but certainly more pronounced during the postseason, which is if the Giants crush the Vikings, it doesn't mean anything because the Vikings defense stinks. Like the Giants wide receivers were so open in that game. I said to Brett the other day, I was like, it was like not since Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark were running free against the Broncos in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 22. Have you seen wide receivers that open? Because I had to throw that in. But so that doesn't mean anything. It also doesn't mean anything when Dallas crushes Tampa Bay.
Yep.
It doesn't because Tampa Bay stinks. And now, by the way, what's going to be the overreaction this week? Philadelphia crushing the Giants. Now, here's where I'm on an island, and I'll say this again. The Giants were as fugazi as the Vikings were all year long.
Yep.
And people love to draw the line to Brian Daboll was a great coach. No, he wasn't. I will just stand on this. I'm sure he's a good coach. They certainly didn't have a lot of talent, and they got the best record out of it. But like the fact that people draw a line to him getting credit for what was just really high leverage situation, great play by the Giants for the first half of the season, inside the red zone versus outside, third and fourth downs versus first and second downs, that can disguise a lot. Like our eyes see a lot, our eyes see better than analytics in any one game, but analytics sees everything. And so that was really the key to the Giants' success. So again, I fear that people are going to overrate. By the way, Philly, one of the best four teams. Philly's awesome. They're tremendous. But like let's see how this line moves. Already has moved some, but we'll see. But anyway, we'll get into each play, or each drive-by-drive in each of these games, because obviously we didn't get to the Jags or the Chiefs yet, which was fascinating as well. And the biggest thing looming over the postseason now, which is Patrick Mahomes' injury. Will he even be able to play? And if so, to what level? That, of course, hovering over the AFC Championship and the whole NFL postseason. We'll come back, look at all the numbers, odds, next.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Chrissy's going to join us. Chrissy Andrews momentarily. Talk about makeshift guessing lines. Real quick, Kelly, your NBA thoughts that you wanted to get out real quick?
Yeah, we just had some futures we were going to look over. I don't know if you got some tweets you want to hit before we go.
Oh, did you want me to do that?
Chris? Yeah.
Oh, sure. Why not?
I'll do that. I can talk NBA for about 10 minutes, but we don't got time to go do that.
Joe Murray, FanDuel just locked all bets on your Australian Open picks as soon as you mentioned them. Always interesting. Dom Perignon, is Jerry Jones still the only one in America who thinks McCarthy's a good coach and Zeke at $10 million a year is worth his 3-yard first down runs? Yes, he is. Carl Neufeld, Gil, all praise to Mahomes, but babyface Joe has beaten him 3 games in a row. Yes, he has. Says Brady 2.9. I guess he means Brady 2.0. Came back from an ACL and MCL, total knee blowout in November, and then played the first game the next year. He's amazing. We may think of him as the greatest quarterback of the generation when all is said and done. Not far-fetched at all.
It might be very soon we might be thinking
that way. Yes, that's very true. Scola. I have so many questions about the chip in the ball. Is it located in the exact middle on only one side? Would using the tech be affected by how the player holds the ball in relation to the location of the chip? I want answers. I think he's talking to you, Kelly.
Yeah, there was some problems with that at the beginning of the season, I believe, as well, of where the chip location is within the ball. Read up on it.
Trip Tepper. Hold on. Did I hear that right? The record scratch moment in the history of ANG. Before we move to Russia, Kelly Bidlin, we need details.
Yes. As a child, my father worked for an oil company. I moved around a lot. Born in Dallas, lived in Anchorage, Alaska, Los Angeles, California, Moscow, Russia, Caracas, Venezuela, and then ended up in South Florida when I was about 13.
And is still younger than Chad Henne.
That's right. Still younger than Chad Henne. Still younger. Thanks, Chad. Bill. I feel good at it.
You're welcome. First Super Bowl you remember, you said, was the Niners and the Chargers.
I don't know why that one stands out the most to me. I just remember, like, a massive Super Bowl party at the house. The
Niners crushed them.
Destroyed them.
And scored 49 points on the button, I think.
It's kind of like the same Brett Maher thing. Like, ever since, you know, I was that a wee lad of that age, I was still a sadistic kid where, like, I just remember having my parents having a huge Super Bowl party, and the game was just over by, like, the second quarter.
It's so funny. I can remember everywhere I was for every Super Bowl. Like, it's that big of a moment that I remember whose party or where I was, or where I was sitting, and my parents who I was younger. The first one I remember was Super Bowl IX, Steelers beating the Vikings. Chrissy will enjoy that. Because my dad bet me $5. That could have started it all, by the way. He did that. He also gave me a sip of Schlitz. That didn't take. That could have gone either way.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a reason why I don't remember a lot of Super Bowls.
But I remember, think about this. I remember before and I'm not making this up, when Washington was in Super Bowl VII against the Perfect Dolphins. Now, I am so young here that all I have is a flash in my brain. I knew there was a commotion and everybody was watching this football game. But that's how, I mean, I'm probably, like, I can't even speak at that point.
Right.
But somehow that's, like, my earliest
memory.
I
have things like that where I remember some before that Niners-Chargers one. But for whatever reason, that one I really remember because it was a blowout.
Chrissy Andrews joins us, ladies and gentlemen, for Guessing Lines Makeshift Conference Championship Edition. What's happening, man? My mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews, runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook.
Just coming off a very nice weekend.
What was your biggest win?
Ooh, biggest win. Well, there's some accounting weird stuff. So, like, the first game was, like, really good, you know, just because you're clearing out a lot of the losers, you know, before. But you always have stuff pending. So, probably the Cincinnati game yesterday.
That was big, really?
That was big, yeah. Yeah. We needed to beat teasers one way or the other. Yeah. Okay. Buffalo blow them out since he went out, right? Early on, we could see Buffalo wasn't blowing this team out.
They were not doing that. No. Let's get into it, Kelly. Let's start with it, shall we?
Well, I got a question for Chris real quick. Were you guys heavy on Bills money all week? Because you were one of the few sixes, like, midweek,
good
right,
question.
Where you were hanging.
We have a couple really big players. And I have one who's probably my biggest player. And by the way, he's ultra sharp. Ultra sharp. He laid me the 4 on Buffalo when we first opened it. I went the 5. I mean, in a nanosecond, he laid me the 5 as well. I mean, big money.
I don't get it.
Big money. He bet it. You know, so and this guy, is, you know how it is in this business. Like, 2 years ago, we murdered him. Last year, he murdered us. Yeah. You know? Right. So
Keep giving money back and forth.
I've had some baseball seasons back to back like that. You know? Yeah.
So, this guy, he's been killing us. So I said, the hell of it. Go right to 6 with it. You know, let's get back all the 6 we can. Because this guy, is you one of those dudes. Like, he never loses.
Because you were the only one at 6 for much of that
week.
For
a long, long time. Yeah. Man, I kept taking it in, yeah. But as it was, we wound up with the game. You know, they took the 6. I think I went back to 5.5 at one point. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so we still needed – I needed Cincinnati in the game, which I really didn't have a strong opinion. I loved Cincinnati early in the week, but then when I saw the offensive line injuries, and you and I talked about that, I think, on Friday, it scared me off. You know, but without Von Miller, it was like a whole different Buffalo team.
So that's a great point, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
So Pollard's injury really helped the Niners.
Yeah.
And the Bills just not having Von Miller. Because Von Miller was what was going to take them over the top.
It was a logical assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy pressuring the quarterback, and I think I mentioned on this show before, I remember Bill Walsh, the great Bill Walsh, says, there's two ways to protect the lead in the NFL. You run the football, you pressure the quarterback. Well, they weren't running the football that well, and they certainly weren't going to pressure the quarterback. Not that they had a lead. You know, but I think the Von Miller injury was a big, big thing. Massive. And I think that's, you know, we probably overlooked that a little bit too much. You and I had talked about how the Buffalo power rating had slowly kind of creeped down. Mm-hmm. Nothing dramatic, but slowly kind of creeped down from where they were kind of early season, mid-season. And I think the Miller injury now, when I look back, probably had more of an impact than we gave it credit for.
I think it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Especially how good he was at the beginning of the year, right? Where we were all surprised by that a bit, just of him advancing in age, and then different team without him for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we can get through here in this segment on this, which is the first of the two championship games now on Sunday.
The first one up, which Kelly is totally prepared for on Sunday, is the 49ers at Eagles at 3 o'clock Eastern.
All right, we'll go through some of this 49ers game yesterday. Against the Cowboys. What a ball game. Hitting, man. Boy, oh boy, was that a physical football game. Game started out, San Francisco went 3 and out, Dallas 6 and out, San Francisco 7 and out. Then Dallas, third play of their ensuing drive, 3rd and 9 at their own 21. Dak picked by Diamador Lenore. Terrible decision by Dak to throw that. But the defense holds. Robbie Gould, 26-yard field goal, 3-0, San Francisco, 2:12 left in the first quarter. Now Dallas in the second quarter, 4th and inches at the San Francisco 19 with 10:53 left in the second quarter. Lamb on a jet sweep for 4. They get the first down. 2 plays later, Dak to Schultz for 4. 6-3 Cowboys. And Kelly, that's where your joy came when Maher's point after touchdown was
he
blocked.
He lines up. Oh, man.
Blocked by Samson Ebukam, and it wasn't going to go in either.
Well,
even if it wasn't blocked. It was the hook left. Niners subsequent drive, Gold 47-yard field goal. Instead of being down a point, it's 6-6. Even Steven. Now Dallas, with 2 minutes left in the first half, 4th and 4 at the San Francisco 35, decision time. They decide to stay on the field. Dak runs for 9. Next play, and this is, to me, if you go back into this Dallas-San Francisco game, this is the key sequence. Because Dallas has a great 2-for-1 opportunity here. First of all, when Dak gets the first down, the next play, Pollard is hurt on the catch. His leg twisted and crushed under Jimmy Ward on the tackle. And we find out that Tony Pollard suffered a fractured fibula, never to return. Hope it doesn't hurt him in free agency. And then the play right after that, 2nd and 2 at the San Francisco 18, 1:24 left in the second quarter. Again, you have a 2-for-1 opportunity. Dak picked by Fred Warner off a deflection by Jimmy Ward, completely squandering that situation for the Cowboys. And then the Niners. They even botched the clock even worse. After ambivalence about using timeouts, where the Niners wasted 20-plus seconds, they end up with 19 seconds left in the first half with no timeouts left, and they get bailed out by the big 21-yard Purdy to Juwan Jennings pass completion. 2 plays later, with 7 seconds left, Purdy almost hangs onto the ball too long before chucking it out with a tick left on the clock. Like, what are you guys doing?
You know what else saved that situation? Who was doing color for that game? Gosh, I'm blanking on it. He's talking about, though, how that clock situation works.
Greg Olson,
where it's supposed to stop, not until the ball lands out of bounds, right?
They got it right.
So if you watch the replay, if that coach on the sideline didn't catch the ball.
That's a good point. Maybe.
The clock could have expired.
Maybe.
Exactly. I was thinking that at the same time. The coach saved the play.
Saved the play. I had no idea he did, probably, but he saved the play.
Unsung hero, because then Gold hits a 50-yard field goal, and the Niners go up 9-6 at halftime. Purdy at that point is 12 of 19 for 129. They were +2 in turnovers, which led to 6 San Francisco points, but you could argue far more because, remember, one of those was deep in San Francisco territory, so it was everything. Third quarter, Dallas 6 and out, but Ray McLeod hit by Kelvin Joseph. He fumbles, recovered by Damone Clark. Dallas set up at the 21 of San Francisco, down 3, but they still have to settle for the Maher 25-yard field goal to make it 9-9 with 9:08 left. Exonerated, Kelly.
Get your popcorn ready. But that one was too easy. Come on.
Ray McLeod redeems himself with a 53-yard kickoff return, but then the Niners 3 and out. So it remains 9-9. First play of Dallas' ensuing drive. Dak to Lamb for 49 yards. But they don't pick up another first, and they decide to punt it 4th and 5 at the San Francisco 40. Were you okay with that?
I was very happy about it, having a money line parlay with the Niners.
Me
too. I don't know what the heck they were doing.
I was thrilled. Truth serum of betting. Yes, please, punt that ball.
Yeah.
We'll get to the fourth quarter and beyond. And we'll get to the guesses here, getting every little nuance of each of these games. The 4 best teams in football. are in the conference championships. I don't think anybody can dispute that at all. Awesome. Man, I'm already missing the NFL. We're not even at the end yet. Coming back with Chrissy, Numbers Game Visa in the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, Kelly Bidlin is here as well. So the Cowboys decide in a 9-9 game, they're going to punt. 4th and 5 at the San Francisco 40. This is late third quarter. Fourth quarter.
What was the score at this time?
9-9. So then fourth quarter, San Francisco now, this is the drive that put them ahead. Second play of the subsequent drive after Dallas decides to punt at the San Francisco 40. And they take the delay call. Second play, Purdy to Kittle for 30 with the amazing juggling catch. Right hand, helmet, left hand, catch. That was unbelievable because if you ever, as all of us have at some point, whatever age you were, and you're catching a football and you bobble it, you could probably catch it with concentration after one bobble, but after three, it is virtually impossible to get it. And Trayvon Diggs was coming at him full speed and whiffed on him.
Okay, so that and that was the part I think I was more impressed with Kittle keeping his concentration with, you know you're going to get hit from someone, right? Like, you have to expect that you're about to get drilled at some point. I love the replay because he looks like, Kittle's eyes are so wide open, right? And that was, I don't want to take anything away from it because it was an amazing catch and everything you're saying, the bobbles is right, but it was just funny because it was right in front of his face the whole time, right? So he kind of never lost eyesight on it, but it was incredible.
Six plays later in a game that had so many critical moments, 2nd and 8 at the Dallas 20 then, Purdy, and this is what we talk about all the time, this is the one thing I conceded, his bad passes somehow never get picked. Purdy hits Trayvon Diggs right in the numbers. Dropped. Was that ball tipped a little bit at the line of scrimmage?
A little bit.
But it still hit him in the chest, and he just enough where he didn't catch it. And he catches everything.
Yeah, what happened to Diggs? How many interceptions did he finish with this year? I'm about to look that up. What did he have last year, like 8?
He had his fair share this year, too. Then 2 straight defensive holding penalties. Give San Francisco 1st and goal at the 10. 2 plays later, McCaffrey in from 3. 16-9 San Francisco. Then the Cowboys come down, and with 11:03 left, Maher hits a 43-yard field goal. It was 4th and 8 at the San Francisco 25 to make it 16-12. Did you have a problem with them kicking that field goal?
Because 4 was a horrible number for us. So, yes, I did.
As a Niners backer, I loved it. Then San Francisco, 12-play, 64-yard drive that took about 8 minutes and ends in a gold 28-yard field goal, 19-12, 3:04 left. Dallas starts with 2:59 left at their own 18. First play, Dre Greenlaw drops a pick 6. Just the amount of these in this game was unbelievable. And then a 3-and-out. They still have all 3 timeouts, so they have to punt. San Francisco starts with 2:05 left. They're up 7. Dallas has all 3 timeouts. Purdy to Kittle for 16. But there's still 1:58 left because the two-minute warning hits. Two plays later, Elijah Mitchell for 13. It would be over, basically, if he doesn't run out of bounds.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But he ran out of bounds, and Dallas still had two timeouts left. Let me just give Elijah Mitchell a little cover here. Was he running too fast and too close to the sidelines to have been able to get down? There's a little part of me that thinks we were killing him for that.
You got to slide or something.
No. He deserves to be killed. I'm with Chris.
Okay. Yeah, no, you got to be aware of that. Okay. By the way, Gil, you didn't mention how much time did Dallas run off the clock between third and fourth down? That's like 30 seconds or so that they could have used a timeout at that point and saved about 30 seconds.
Yep. We're here at the end here of the game?
Yeah. Before they punted.
Oh, before they punted.
Before they punted.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right. Right, and the announcers even said that. Greg Olson's like, you better get this off before the two-minute warning. They barely did to get north of the two-minute warning. Anyway, so basically, Cowboys do use their timeout, so they get the ball back. Instead of with about, 10 or 20 seconds left, they end up with the ball at their own 6 with 45 seconds left. No matter, incomplete, 9-yard pass to Schultz, 33 seconds left. Then a 9 more to Schultz, but he's in bounds when he gets hit, and the clock keeps running. Then incomplete, so 10 seconds left at their own 24. Incomplete to Schultz again when he was nonchalant with his second foot getting in bounds. And last play, Dak, which is a comical play, with Zeke at center, who just got trucked. And Dak to Kevontae Turpin for 8, who got immediately stuck by Jimmy Ward. Ball game. There would be no pitchy woo-woo. 19-12 San Francisco. Purdy, 19 for 29, 214. 7 in a row. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Kittle, 5 for 95. They held Dallas to 282 yards. Total yards, that is, 76 rushing. Good for the Niners. And then Philadelphia, there's not much we need to get to through this game. We'll just do the first part. They started out, Philly did, 8 plays, 75 yards against the Giants, 454. Hurts to Goddard for 16, 7-0. Hurts to Smith for 40 on the second play of scrimmage was the big play in that drive. Then the Giants, on the very first of their drives, 4th and 8 at the Philly 40, decide to go for it. And Jones gets sacked by Hassan Reddick. Philly backs that up with an 8-play, 60-yard drive for 418. Off the clock, Hurts to Smith, 9-yard touchdown, 14-0. Giants second play from scrimmage, Jones picked by James Bradbury, former Giant. Some people think he could have taken it to the house. Falls on his own. At that point, Hurts is 7 for 7 for 89, 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. Basically, Philly 3 and out, but the Giants 3 and out. And then Philly, a 9-play, 62-yard drive. Boston Scott in from 3, 21-0. Another Giants 3 and out. Philly, 14 plays, 72 yards, 5:04 off the clock. Hurts, 5-yard touchdown run. Anyway, that's all we need to talk about that game. That game was... I couldn't wait for that game to just end so I could go eat.
No, it was great. Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to these games this upcoming weekend, but it's not bad when you have easy winning bets, Gil.
Not at all. That's the good part about it. But by the way, at 27-0, the Eagles lined up for a 2-point conversion trying to see if they could get a yard, if they could draw the Giants offside. There's some people here at the South Point, including Wishnev, who had 27.5 as an in-game first half total, and they were going ballistic.
Oh my God.
And what is Nick Sirianni doing? Maybe at 6-0 you do that, but at 27-0, what are you really doing here? Anyway, they end up kicking the extra point, 28-0, on their way to the big 38-7 crushing. Chrissy, I guessed on this that Philadelphia would be a 2.5-point favorite. The other game is the one where I had trouble with. But this one, I figured it would be 2.5, and then immediately I hope it's 2.5 because I want to take the Niners every which way.
Before the game, we were looking at some numbers. I said, well, probably going to be about a 3, I think. And then I tell you, I've been impressed with the Niners all year. I opened at 1.5. I thought that was a good number. They laid it to me right away. They laid me the 1.5. They laid me the 2. I'm at 2.5 right now. But I love the Niners. I understand, Purdy, a rookie quarterback. Going into Philly, not the most ideal situation. But, for the last 2 years, I've been lowering home field advantages. I still only give Philly a 1-point advantage, but this situation may be a little bit higher. But I think the Niners are the better team. I really do. I think the Niners are the better team.
I do, too.
And I remember I started saying 3, and then I said, I think 3 is probably what it's going to be. And I said, man, I would jump all over +3.
I think that would be the point of resistance.
But we might get there. I mean, so far it's been all Eagles. Like I said, laying the 1.5, laying the 2, at 2.5. Let me bring it up. I think I see 2.5 with some juice on the favorite. So, we have a chance of getting a three in this game.
Those Niners linebackers are going to make life so difficult on the Eagles.
I worry a little bit about Purdy, first game on the road in such a hostile place. I mean, Philly's a hostile place to play.
But you know what? That's what Felica texted us last week, remember? It was like every week it's going to be a new thing with Purdy.
Yeah.
So, well, this is the first week he's doing this, and this is the first week he's doing that.
Your boy Wishnev, I saw his tweet. I'm just going to quote him. He bet – Dallas in game.
Yes, he did.
Because he said, Purdy has never really faced a defense like this. I understand his logic.
This gets back to the end of the first half. When he made that bet, I understand his logic, because his logic was this is a perfect 2-for-1 opportunity for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, it was probably a good bet, but the Cowboys botched it. They completely botched it. And the Niners then almost tried to botch it back, but Gold hits the 50-yarder. And at that point, again, the whole theme to that game is, for Dak and Purdy, you're just asking the quarterback, what's the number one thing the quarterback has to do in those games? Just don't make mistakes.
Execute the offense as flawlessly as possible.
And Dak was the one who did, and Purdy did not. I know he hit Trayvon in the chest, but he didn't in the end. So, again, the clunker crowd, the clunker is going to happen one of these weeks crowd. You got two more shots at it,
right.
Max.
Yeah, yeah. I thought 1.5 was a good opening number, and I think you might be able to take $1.30 on the money line, something like that, maybe even higher eventually. If it gets a 3, you could probably take 3, and then maybe who knows what you take on the money line. I think there definitely would be value in taking the Niners at that point, because I really think the Niners are the better team. I think they're the better team. Home field's got to mean a little something in this situation, but I think the Niners are the better team.
Taking nothing away from the Eagles.
Eagles are terrific.
They're terrific. Yeah. They're absolutely terrific.
And we worried about Hurts with the shoulder.
Yeah.
That first pass went 40 yards. I guess his shoulder's okay.
But I don't think we learn anything against a team like the Giants.
Giants were terrible.
They're terrible.
That game was over.
They're
early.
Terrible team. Okay, they're not terrible, but they're just . And by the way, Nick Sirianni, maybe let's not play to the cameras too much. It's a little annoying. We'll get to the AFC. Bengals, Chiefs, next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Shall we go to the Bengals and the Chiefs? Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Chrissy Andrews. So, the Bengals get there, of course, by virtue of their win over the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City, by virtue of their win over the Jaguars. Cincinnati, we'll start with them. Cincinnati, 6-play, 79-yard drive to start off against the Bills. Took 3 minutes, 15 seconds. That's it. 6 plays. Bang. In the end zone. Burrow to chase for 28. 7-0 Cincinnati. Then Buffalo, 3 and out. Cincinnati, 10 plays, 72 yards. Took 6:15 off the clock. Burrow to Hayden Hurst for 15. 14-0 Bengals. 3:47 left first quarter, and the route was on. Burrow, 9 for 9 at that point for 105. 2 touchdowns. The Bengals had 9 first downs. The Bills had none. 146-6 in total yards. 935-138 in time of possession. Buffalo, another 3 and out. Cincinnati, another 6 and out. The first quarter ends with a 160-8 total yards advantage for the Bengals. 10-0 on first downs. Second quarter, though, Buffalo, 4th and inches at the Cincinnati 22. Josh Allen sneaks and converts. 6 plays later, Allen in from 1 out. 14-7 after a 15-play, 75-yard drive that took 7:39 off the clock. Then the Bengals come down. McPherson hits a 28-yard field goal. It's 17-7. That's after the Burrow to Chase would-be 10-yard touchdown pass was overturned. And I do think correctly so. But Buffalo, 7 and out. So, that, by the way, this is the point of the game. I shouldn't be nonchalant about this. Buffalo's down 10 points at this point with the ball at the end of the first half. They get the ball first to start. So, again, just like Dallas, they had a 2-for-1 situation in front of them. If Buffalo goes down and scores and makes it 17-14, this, despite the dominance, could have been a different ball game. But instead, Buffalo's 7 and out. And that's the end of the half. It's the first time the Bills have trailed at home all season. Burrow's 18 for 27 for 186 in the first half. It's a 275-135 total yards advantage for the Bengals. So the Bills do start the third quarter. They do get a Tyler Bass 25-yard field goal, 17-10. But that took half the third quarter. It was 7:42 left. And then from this point on, it's all Bengals. 12 plays, 75 yards, mixing in from one. 6:25 drive, 24-10 Bengals, 1:17 left in the third quarter. And then a Buffalo 3 and out. The third play was that bomb to Davis where they couldn't connect to Gabe Davis. And Tony Romo says, possibly a game-saving play. What's he talking about? 11 seconds left of the third quarter. By the way, I also have a note here, which is a little off topic, but it says, CBS using 70s R&B jams by African-American artists to promote the Masters.
Oh, I caught that too.
Maybe you shouldn't do that. Fourth quarter.
I didn't catch that, I got to be honest.
They had some weird promos, I felt like, during that entire game. But, yeah.
It just occurred to me, you know.
Yeah, know what you're talking about.
Fourth quarter, Cincinnati, Evan McPherson, 20-yard field goal, 27-10 Cincinnati with 11:22 left. And at that point in the game, it was just a snooze fest because the Bengals were sort of like, we're fine with a field goal here to go up 3 scores. 27-10. Buffalo first and 10 at the Cincinnati 32, 10:16 left. Allen hit by Mike Hilton. Ball comes out. Romo, ooh, that looks like it might have been moving forward, but it also looks like a fumble. I don't know. They go to commercial. So incomplete pass. And then the game really ends 4th and 6 at the Cincinnati 16 with 7:32 left. Incomplete pass intended for Davis. Turnover on downs. Allen was later picked by Cam Taylor-Britt. That was really the ball game. Burrow ends up 23 for 36 for 242. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once, 6 for 31 on the ground. He's the 5th quarterback, Burrow is, in the Super Bowl era to win his first 3 playoff road games. Jake Delhomme has the record with 4. Kaepernick, Roethlisberger, and Eason also with 3 in a row to start.
Tony Eason?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tony Eason before they got shellacked by the Bears.
Yeah.
Mixon, 20 for 105 and a touchdown. Again, that was the thing. We all, even those of us who said, the offensive line is going to hold up for Burrow, none of us were like, they're going to run down the Bills' throats. But they did. 30 first downs for the Bengals. 30, 412 total yards. They held the Bills to 63 rushing yards, the fewest in any game for the Bills over the past 2 seasons. The Bengals felt disrespected by the neutral site ticket sales, and I did note here the absence of Von Miller surely hurt the Bills for sure. And then Jacksonville and Kansas City, how Kansas City got here. Jacksonville started out with a 3 and out in that game. Remember, a 3rd down pass probably should have been picked out of the hands of Trevor Lawrence. KC went 12 plays, 83 yards, took 6 minutes. Mahomes to Kelsey for 8, 7-0 Kansas City. Agnew, 63-yard kickoff return. 5 plays, 39 yards, 2:43 later. Lawrence to Kirk for 10, it's 7-7. And then KC, second quarter, 1st and 10 at the Jacksonville 49. This is the play that may have changed the rest of the postseason. Mahomes to Blake Bell for 4, but Mahomes is hit by Arden Key, and his ankle is crushed under Key. Next play, he could barely make a handoff. They did get a Butker 50-yard field goal on that drive to make it 10-7. Mahomes finished the drive, but he was later sent to the locker room. Jacksonville goes 8 and out. Casey gets the ball back up, a field goal. 37-year-old Chad Henne is in. They start at the 2. 4th play of the drive, 2nd and 3 at their own 23, and everybody's saying, oh, my God, Chad Henne went 98 yards. But on the 4th play, Henne should have been picked by Tyson Campbell off a deflection, but Foyesade Olokoan Olokwon cut him off. Instead, it's a 12-play, 98-yard drive that goes 6:05. Henny to Kelce for one, 17-7 Kansas City. Pacheco had a 39-yard run. That was the key play on that drive. Kelce, 10 catches for 55 yards at that point in the game, two touchdowns with 3:54 left in the half. And then Jacksonville down 17-7, first and 10 of the Jacksonville 36, 2:34 left in the second quarter. Lawrence has Kirk deep. Christian Kirk is deep. He just overthrows him. Kirk can't reel it in. They have to settle for a Riley Patterson 41-yard field goal, 17-10 going into the half. Chiefs lead. Mahomes back in, 6 and out. Jacksonville, 7 and out. Kansas City, 3 and out. Noah Gray stuffed on 3rd and inches. Jacksonville, 6 and out. Butker gets a 50-yard field goal to make it 20-10 Kansas City. Then in the fourth quarter, Jacksonville, 7-play, 75-yard drive. This is where the spread is all in doubt. Etienne in from 4 out, 20-17 Kansas City, 11:49 left. Key play, Lawrence to Zay Jones for 37. Kansas City comes right back, 10-play, 75 yards, 4:41 off the clock. Jump pass off the awkward foot, Mahomes to Valdez-Scantling. Valdez-Scantling from 7 out, 27-17 Kansas City. So if you're a Kansas City backer, you're like, okay, we got this. Let's go. 42-yard return, though, by Agnew. Cut down by Butker. Jacksonville gets it all the way to first and goal at the Kansas City 9 with 5:36 left. And then Lawrence to Agnew, tackled by L'Jarius Sneed. Fumble! Recovered by Nick Bolton. NBC shows no definitive replay before the break. Huge spread implications, but it was a fumble. And then Kansas City goes 3 and out. Jacksonville uses 2 of their timeouts. By the way, 3rd and 1 at Kansas City 12, Pacheco stuffed for an OK. Jacksonville starts at their own 46. Remember, down 10 with 4:18 left. The spread is somewhere between 7 and 10 at this point. Second play, Lawrence picked by Jalen Watson. And I want to point this out. Jalen Watson goes down voluntarily when Nick Bolton, his teammate, tells him to. Now, I don't know if Jalen Watson was going to take the ball down the field, but he certainly prevented that from happening by going down voluntarily. Shades of Julius Peppers back in 2014. What was that, Seahawks-Packers game? Will Hill was reminding me of this. And then Kansas City, after the first play, Jacksonville uses their last timeout, but it's a 3 and out. So Jacksonville gets the ball back down 10 at their own 30 with 1:04 left. Spread in doubt. No timeouts left. They get it with 42 seconds left. What would have been a 52-yard field goal try by Patterson. They say, no, we'll continue. Instead, it ends up being a Patterson 48-yard field goal when they get to fourth down with 30 seconds left, and he sinks it. Onside kick fails, ball game. Jacksonville covers the spread.
That was huge.
For you.
Huge, yeah.
So think about that. It took a Mahomes injury and Jalen Watson perhaps just sitting down voluntarily.
Yeah, but 2 fourth-quarter turnovers, too.
Oh, yeah, it was big.
Yeah.
KC headed to their 5th straight AFC championship game, the 3rd team ever to do that. Mahomes, 22 of 30 for 195. He was 10 of 12 for 77 and a touchdown before the injury. He was 12 of 18 for 118 and a touchdown after. Mahomes in the divisional round, 5-0, 14 total touchdowns, 11 passing, 0 turnovers. Kelce, 14 catches for 98, 2 touchdowns, most catches by a tight end in a playoff game. Playoff record for Kansas City, regardless of position. 14 career postseason touchdown receptions, 3rd most all-time, plus 2 in turnovers for the Chiefs. Andy Reid, 20th playoff win, tied for second all-time with Tom Landry. And Trevor Lawrence, first career loss on a Saturday, high school, college, or pro.
Really?
41-1 now, after being 41.
I saw somebody mention that before the thing. He's 41-0 on Saturdays.
Never lost on a Saturday, that guy.
Okay.
I said, if Mahomes was healthy, I said Kansas City -4. Since he's not, I thought it would be 3 because I didn't know. I figured books would just be like, well, let's just make it 3 and see what happens. But it's not 3, huh?
I opened Kansas City 1, quickly went to pick. And even at pick, I had money on Cincinnati. Tell you what I'm worried about, though. Cincinnati, we expected kind of gloom and doom with their offensive line against Buffalo. Didn't happen, obviously. But I don't think this matchup is real good for their offensive line, you know, against Kansas City. But the Mahomes injury, there's no way he's going to be 100%. No chance. I'm running KC1 right now. I think that's a good number.
All right. More on this
on
the other side. Numbers game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander. Kelly Bidlin has a pro tip of the hour. Do you, Kelly, now or later?
Yeah, I do. Sure, yeah, I'll do it right
sure.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my pro tip. If you're waiting on actionable injury update before betting the Chiefs, don't hold your breath. I think this is going to be that week where, look, Mahomes is questionable all week long. Why are they going to tell you anything more than they need to? He's going to play in the game. He stayed in that game yesterday. It's a high ankle sprain. There's no break or anything. And he's going to play. We're going to all have no idea how good he's going to be, though, until we actually – or how well he's going to look until we actually see him play in that game.
Kelly Bidlin with your Pro Tip of the Hour, one every hour, at least 20 a day. Searchable at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only.
Just feel like there's going to be a lot of talk about this week, and rightfully so, right? I mean, it's arguably the best quarterback left with a high ankle sprain, but you're not going to know much more about how he's really feeling before that game starts.
By the way, as we talk all this football, I just have to let people behind the curtain here for a second. So we have screens on here, and they're doing on Good Morning America, they're doing something on the show The Bachelor, and they're showing, like, video of it. Chrissy, would you like to share it with everybody what you said about it as we're looking at all the Bachelors?
I really hate those guys.
Why?
Because I'm not one of them.
So great.
It's about that time of year we get Mike Renner back on the show. Former Bachelorette contestant,
Mike
right?
Renner. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. Former Bachelorette contestant.
That's my favorite background. Anybody we have on this show, that's one of my favorite background nuggets.
So great.
Yeah, fat bald guy with glasses is not going to be on The Bachelor.
I think it would be awesome if you were on The Bachelorette. Just throw you in the mix.
Yeah, it's been all charm and humor for me over the years. The good looks never really got me anywhere.
It's worked wonders.
It's worked out okay.
You've worked
out.
I'm
not complaining.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, but another one. First Super Bowl I remember was Super Bowl 20, Bears crushing the Pats. I was 7, and my dad and uncle brought me to the Super Bowl party at the bar they bought squares at. Yes.
Yeah, see, it's stuff like that. That's what makes you kind of remember that first, one of your first big times.
By the way, this is not quite the same thing, but you know how some people were floating that if they did the neutral site thing between the Bills and the Chiefs, that this was going to be like the NFL's test run for making these neutral site championship games in the future, whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, and forgive me for the corny moment, but like all of my memories with my dad at RFK, like if you do stuff to take that away from people, I don't mean to sound all Bob Costas at baseball games this year, but like I cannot measure how much that means to me as a human being.
That was Jeff Darlington had a great series of tweets on it, or mid last week, because there was some of the stuff coming out, and rightfully so, where like Lamar Hunt, I guess, had brought this up way back in the day about how he thought it was something that could be good for the NFL because he thought weather. It was going to play too much into home field advantages.
How great was it watching weather games yesterday?
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But
that was a horrible idea.
That's what we love about
football.
Your
incentive is to get the home field advantage.
Yes.
All year.
Right, so the regular season becomes a bit diminished as a result.
No question.
Totally.
And
Darlington was just tweeting. He was like, I've covered Super Bowls. I've covered conference championship games. The excitement at a home stadium when a team wins to go to a Super Bowl is far more than you ever see at the actual Super Bowl when the team wins.
Kelly, I'm getting chills. People, you can call me corny. I don't care what people call me. I'm getting chills thinking about this. Washington's Super Bowl wins were not nearly as memorable as the NFC Championship after the 82 season at RFK against the Cowboys when they finally slayed the Beast and won 31-17. We arrived at the stadium at 9:30 in the morning for a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
There's no replacement for those memories. What are they doing? Even thinking about that. Jeff Levine, pizza money today on Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco at 100-1 to be Super Bowl MVP. Yes, quarterbacks win. Yes, KC not favored, Mahomes injury. But if KC is there, probably with little Mahomes antics on the run to give him MVP. So Pacheco, line value is good in my opinion. He's the right type of runner to do it. Hey, Jeff, we're all just hoping with MVP you could be right. Kenny G, morning, Gil. I was at the Super Bowl. I think that Kelly remembers because the game was in Miami. Great show. Luck as an art. Gil said he bet Lehechka on VSiN and FanDuel Boyd immediately moved the line to where someone else hammered it back, I guess. He'd taken like minus 600 hammering it back. Okay. Okay, I guess. Johnny Ringo, if Mitchell slides, he doesn't pick up the first down. Pathetic that everyone piled on him for that. Johnny, I'm with you a little bit, man. I think it's a little much on him because he's going full speed to get to the sticks, and he's kind of bunched up in the corner there. Easier. Look at Chrissy's looking at me like the disdain he has for the people on The Bachelor. The only thing I can really compare it to. Scott C., never miss a show listening in Buffalo. Sorry for any heat you caught from Bill's Mafia. They tend not to be reasonable people, a lot of day drinkers. I appreciate your insights and analytical approach to sports. You're the best. Thank you, Scottsy. That was very nice. Let's see. Nevada Azer. The Spanos family keeping Staley employed and Jerry keeping McCarthy in place is great for business. We don't need any competency entering this realm. Good call. And on. We'll get to more, but we're going to run into a wall. But you wanted to say about the So right now you have what two lines on these games?
I have the Chiefs one.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Eagles 2.5.
Chiefs one, Eagles 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of questions on the Chiefs game. You know, first of all, Mahomes, that's, you know, the elephant in the room, kind of. Yeah, what's it going to be like? He's not going to be 100%. Kind of to what Kelly was saying in the pro tip. You're not going to know until you see him actually go out there and play. But he's not going to be 100%. But I do think the offensive line questions that we had with the Bengals didn't come to fruition last week, but they might this week. You know, I think this is a tougher matchup for that offensive line.
I'm so glad you brought that up because our brain tends to purge things from one week to the other. And so you're right. Like, we shouldn't just purge that. And even though I, you know, made every comment about it, Burrow gets rid of the ball quickly and all that. Yeah, it shouldn't be completely purged out of our mind. It's something that should be part of the calculus.
Well, they also ran the ball down Buffalo's throat. That was a big part of it. I mean, Burrow, listen, I can't say enough good about Joe Burrow. You know,
he's amazing.
We talk about, I always say, Kyler Murray has the best highlight reel in the NFL. I can't stand him as a quarterback. Joe Burrow, he's another guy. What's his highlight reel look like? Hitting an open receiver?
Yeah.
That's what he does. Executes the offense. I'm sorry. That's how you win football games. There's a few guys like Mahomes who's a little bit of both. Hurts, I don't want to put him in the Mahomes category, a little bit of both. But you look at Burrow, I mean, he executes the offense. That's what Joe Burrow does, and that's winning football. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm a Steeler fan. I got to probably live the rest of my life rooting against Joe Burrow. Yeah. That's going to be tough. Oh. This kid is unbelievably good.
Yeah.
I was listening to I was watching ESPN this morning before the show. Dan Orlovsky, I mean, I love Dan. He's on that show saying basically the same thing you just did. It's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are amazing unicorns that we have in this league. What Joe Burrow brings to the table is a professional NFL quarterback down to the T of everything that he does. It's stay in the pocket, climb a ladder in the pocket, boom. Just run the offense that you're handed to run and does it as well as anybody out there. It's incredible.
We're talking about Zach Taylor, and I knocked the hell out of him at first as a coach, and I think he's grown quite a bit. Is he grown or is he lucky to have Joe Burrow?
Exactly.
You know, other than your guy, Joe Gibbs, every great coach has had that one quarterback.
Of course.
You know, Gibbs is great.
That makes you great real quick when you have Joe Burrow.
It sure does. Yeah, you can make – listen, here's our offense. Joe's going to execute it. I'm going to look like a genius at the end. Oh. You know, so, I mean, is that Zach Taylor? Yeah, maybe. But he's grown. I got to give him credit, too.
I thought he had a bit of an iffy season, Gil, but I thought the game plan was awesome yesterday. I thought Zach Taylor had a great game.
May I just point out that Urban Meyer had no use for Joe Burrow at Ohio State as well? I mean,
it's
just
pile
add,
on
just
Urban
add,
time. That's
just
kinda
add
easy.
That to the list.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's a great time of year. And let me just ask you this in closing because we only have a minute left. Projecting a week forward, when do your props typically come out for Super Bowl?
For the Super Bowl?
Yes.
We'll probably start like with the real simple ones, like Tuesday or Wednesday. You know,
the
like,
formulaic ones.
Yeah, the formulaic ones. And then as the week goes on, I hope to have them all done by Friday
of the first week.
Of the first week.
Okay.
You know, I hope that's not a guarantee. I'm going to hope to do that. But
is there a matchup that's better for business for you than another? I mean, these are four great teams.
No. No matter what happens here, I'm going to love this Super Bowl. I'm going to love this weekend and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
All right. We've done all
I would say this. I hope Mahomes is healthy.
I think we, as football fans, we all do.
Yeah.
That's for sure. We've done all we can do.
Hey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.